butt. La, 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 la.
I have a really important question to ask you all. Just because you're sitting over there doesn't mean you can't answer. Do you have rules at school?
Yeah.
Are you out of school?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, good. So you don't have to worry about those rules right now, right? Okay. Do you have rules at home?
Yeah.
Yeah? Should I tell you don't have to worry about those? No, we get in trouble. No. Are rules important?
Yeah.
Why are rules important?
So you can be safe.
So you can be safe. That's right. That's good. Any other reason?
So you don't get in trouble.
So you don't get in trouble. That's really good, too. Now, here's the big question. You ready? Is it ever okay and even important to break the rules?
No.
No? Not ever?
No.
What do you think it's important to break the rules ever?
No.
Never? Oh, should never break the rules. Never? Ever? Hey, they're going for my job. I don't need you doing it too, okay? And I was just about to say, ha ha, not yet, but you know. Well, can you do me a favor? Can you think about it for a little while and think if there's ever a time when maybe you should break the rules, like, I don't know, maybe a teacher told you to never talk in class and somebody is doing something they shouldn't be doing, or, you know, something like that, or somebody's getting hurt and you're not supposed to cross the street, but hey, there they are. That's just a hint, okay? It's a tough question, right? You know what? Grown-ups know how to answer it either. Did you know that? You do? All right, you got a good one? All right, come on. Help me here.
Well, like, if, like, someone's doing something they're not supposed to do in school or something.
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, hiding something from the teacher, you should tell the teacher.
Oh, that's all right. All right. So sometimes it's okay, right? Okay, it's a tough one. And they still don't know how to answer it either, so don't worry about it. Okay? So I could have done this as part of the reflective moment, but it really wasn't theological sound, so I'll do my complaining in the first part of my sermon. How's that? Like you're going to do anything about it. There are times when it's okay to break the rules, just so you know. This is not one of those times. Does anybody know who Jesse Duplantis is? You do? And I don't know who you are. Go ahead, keep going.
He wouldn't be
on a donkey. Do you remember what number plane this is?
Four.
Yes.
Three, right?
Yeah.
God told him to do it.
Thank you. Well, welcome to Vista Grande. Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Yeah, there was this whole video that he put out to his congregation asking for them to purchase his fourth jet because he's just burning through them for Jesus. And Jesus, let's face it, think about it. I think I'm getting the quote right. Jesus wouldn't be riding a donkey if he were here. You know, maybe a hybrid, but no. So just so you know, if you have some extra cash, he's looking to upgrade to a four-engine jet so that he can fly all around the world for Jesus. Without needing to stop and refuel. That was very, very important. Thank you. Thank you. Thou shalt not judge. It's hard. There's a difference, and I'm just gonna come to my own defense here. Thank you very much. There is a difference between judging and holding one another accountable. For real. Okay? That wasn't funny. That was a real statement. Okay, so summer has begun, and we're going to have a lesson in Greek. I know. Everything you say is Greek to me, Claire. But I didn't take Greek. And you know why I didn't take Greek? I didn't have to. But there are times when it's really important to understand where the origins of some of our words come from. Okay, so we're going to look at a couple of words. And you've heard these words, and I've even talked about them, and so you may even remember. So the first thing that we hear when we're talking about someone who is preaching a gospel such as prosperity gospel, right, taking the words so literally and using them to, in this particular example, to his advantage, that usually comes from something we call an orthodoxy. Do you know what that means? Break it down. Ortho, and it's not, we're not talking about the bug killer. Ortho, do you know what that means? It comes from the Greek, and the word means? That's a good guess. That's a good guess. If you're talking about an orthodoxy, you're talking about, Jim, Deborah, I know you took Greek. Ortho comes, it's derived and is translated as right, as in correct. Okay? Okay. Doxy. Orthodoxy. Think doctrine. Belief. Yes. Yes. Right belief. So when you hear of something that is orthodox, it holds itself in the right belief. Okay? So somebody who is very stringent on reading scripture would say there is a right belief and there is a wrong belief. Guess where we fall? Orthopraxy. Right. Yes, practice, action. Right action. So there is a move, as there has been, in sort of the progressive notion or of the progressive theological interpretation that orthopraxy has more to do with right action, right behavior as the emphasis, as opposed to correct or right belief. Make sense? Okay. Heresy. Now you tell me what heresy means, please. Don't worry about the Greek. Just tell me what your understanding of heresy is. Using orthodoxy is sort of that background. It is. It comes from the bad belief, but specifically?
Blasphemous.
Okay, so what does that mean? Not true based on? What'd you say, Phil? Sort of breaking the rules around orthodoxy. If you're breaking the rules around orthodoxy, it's a heresy. Because you are choosing to believe, pardon? Wrong belief. You are choosing to believe something that is different from the norm, which is accepted. Okay? And if you are heretical, what's going to happen to you? Or hell, either one. We're not. The word heresis is actually the original word for heresy. And do you know what it means? To make a choice. To choose. Not necessarily to choose against, but to choose something specifically. Heresy, as a defined as we said just a few minutes ago, wasn't really used as something negative until Christianity and Judaism split definitively around, the end of the first century. Where heresy is defined, or better yet, Christianity is defined by what you aren't. We're Christian, you aren't, ergo, you're a heretic. Got it? There'll be a quiz later. So when Jesus is walking around with his disciples, picking wheat off the leftovers, right, sort of gleaning in the fields, on the Sabbath, One might see his actions as being heretical, even though that word wasn't in play during that time. Okay? Now, when you hear this story, you can just sort of picture them, right? Walking along, just sort of grabbing the wheat through their fingers and eating it, right? And the Pharisees just go wackadoodle. Because here they are doing what is defined as work on the Sabbath. They are picking food. What is your first thought on that? The Bible did not say they were hungry. I'm just giving you a hard time. What else? They were hungry. A reflex. Okay, because it was their nibble, right? I walk by a jar of peanuts and I grab some whether I'm hungry or not, right? So they may have been hungry. They may not have been hungry. What else? These are good Jews now. They should have known better. Do you ever think that? They didn't care. Is Jesus teaching us not to care, Sandra? When you're oh, that's good. When you're hungry, so you don't care. Yeah. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, no, that it seemed like a down roll, so why follow it? Oh. That kind of thing. Not that they didn't
yeah, but these
care,
are.
With the capital C, they didn't care.
But these are devout Jews. They do care. So Jesus is telling them to break all the rules of their faith?
Didn't say Jesus told them to. Just
well, you just said that they're following Jesus, so the assumption is...
But that there are things more important than the rules and regulations.
Like what?
Caring for people and loving people rather than having...
They were picking food as they were walking. Were they caring for others?
Themselves.
Oh, so they were selfish.
Self-care.
You're getting really good at this. You're getting really good at this. But those are the arguments that the Pharisees would have made, right? So Jesus comes back and says, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, wait a minute. Because even David, whom everybody adored, even King David and his men stopped and got something to eat. The difference is that we don't know, and this is where context and makes Jesus a little more radical than we think he is, or a little bit of attitude, which I can relate to, I don't know why, is that David and his men were starving, and they were, and the Bible explicitly, that's why I gave you a hard time, the Bible explicitly says they're hungry, they weren't able to prepare, and they were being hunted down. So they stopped in the temple and ate the food that was left for the priests, which is a big, big no-no, right? And they were really hungry, so they didn't care. Big C, little C, didn't matter. They were starving. But it really wasn't the same thing. So if you understand that, some people be going, yeah, but JC, let's take a look at the context that David was in versus, but before they can even do that, he stops them again, doesn't he? And he challenges them with another question, which is more important? Are we supposed to be mean on the Sabbath? And then he reminds them that the Sabbath was not created for anyone other than them. Right? So, just to get on the Pharisees' nerves a little bit more, he now bumps into this dude with a withered hand, right? With a hand that has not been working for this man for years after years after years, and it happens to be the Sabbath. And he decides that he's really going to do some work, right? And he heals that man's hand on the Sabbath. Now, what do you think?
Good for him.
Good for him. What do you think? If you're a Pharisee, what are you thinking?
This guy's really skating on thin ice.
He's skating on thin ice, right? Which brings us to the last phrase is, how do we get rid of him? What else are you thinking? Man's had a withered hand his whole life. It's the Sabbath. Jesus decides to heal him on the Sabbath.
Is loving and caring for each other going to look calendar?
You're really messing this up for me today, Carol. Yes, loving and caring for each other has no calendar. That's actually really critical. I heard somebody else. Bev?
It was good for him to bring
The Pharisees are thinking like that? The Pharisees are thinking that way? So breaking the rules is okay, grown up? Kids, listen, pay attention. Why couldn't he wait one more day? What's another day, Bev?
Jesus may not have been there.
What if he was? Was he going to catch a train? Was he going to get a jet? Yeah. With four engines. Nonstop to Dulles. Why didn't he just wait? What's one more day? The guy's hand, he hasn't been able to use it his whole life. Why couldn't he just wait another day and not cause so many problems? He was there to make a point.
People are more important than rules.
Now we're getting perfect. Wow, philosophical. We only have today. Okay. What?
Withered hand could enjoy the Sabbath more than if Jesus had just let him
Why make him suffer?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you guys go up there and finish this? Why make him suffer longer? Because his needs were right there and now, and Jesus was taking care of his needs right here. And now, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and I wish somebody would make this a bumper sticker. Who knows? This could be a little fundraiser. Hint, hint. The Dalai Lama 14, the current that guy with the robe. The Dalai Lama has this great quote, which is, know the rules well so you can break them effectively. Right? Know the rules well so you can break them effectively. Now, we've had a little bit of fun, but recently, over the past week or two, or three or four, we have heard about a lot of rules, right? The most recent was a gentleman named Matthew Charles. Have you heard this name in the news? Anybody? Matthew Charles is an African-American gentleman who, during the 70s, was arrested and convicted of distributing cocaine. Crack. Let me be very clear. Crack. Okay? And he was sentenced to 35 years in prison. It was the, what do they call it? The mandatory sentencing. Okay? Now, over the past couple of years, those have changed because there has been a discrepancy on maximum or mandatory sentencing for cocaine versus crack. You know what the fundamental difference between the two of those are? One sold by white people, one sold by black people. But yes, there is a chemical difference, but the bottom line is that's how that breaks down, okay? So it was ruled and identified that the person who was selling crack got a greater mandatory sentencing than the person selling cocaine. So that got switched up, which means that they appealed and he was released 2 years ago. Okay? And he's been out for 2 years. He's got a full-time job, he's volunteering, and he was engaged to get married before a prosecutor decided, no. The law was broken or circumvented during this appeal, so we're going to go back and redo this and see that there was a mistake made, and last week he turned himself in to complete the rest of his sentence for another 9 years. Perfect example. Following the law, right? The letter of the law. We're seeing it also with our immigration, aren't we? We're seeing it with how the law says that if an adult is arrested, the child is not allowed to stay with them. Okay? And so, in order to protect the child from the criminal parent, we're going to remove the child from that parent while they wait to stand trial. Now, when the parent is released, we're not necessarily sure where the child is, but we followed the law, didn't we? And in fact, we can even go a couple steps back and take a look and say, well, when those folks crossed a border, it's an administrative faux pas versus a federal offense. And those types of administrative faux pas, this is how it's classified, by the way, being undocumented as administrative. There's not a federal law, not a felony or a misdemeanor. Do not require jail time. Okay? But the law says we can do it, so let's do it. Okay? We have pipelines that are going through native lands, and by law, we can work it so that those pipelines are allowed to go through native lands, sovereign nations, because the law lets us do it, regardless of the consequences. The story, the two stories in Jesus' gospel, even if Jesus was being a little ordinary and kind of poking the Pharisaic bear, as it were, is very simple. That the needs and the cares and the desires and the life, the quality of life of people come before everything. They come before orthodoxy. They come before anything that is identified as heretical. They come before any law put in place. If somebody's needs are not being met, then it is your job to be a heretic. There's another word, orthopathy. Ortho, pathy, pathos, pathos.
Way.
Right way. Say it. Close. Illness is figured out because you a certain way. What?
Disease.
Nah. What? No, we think of pathological, and we think of, a DO, a doctor of orthopedic medicine. Thank you. But what does pathos. No?
Feeling.
Yes, feeling. Nice. Feeling. Which is how you figure out whether somebody's not feeling well, right? But pathos is feeling. And how it's translated for us today is experience. So orthopathy is how we experience God. So the end result of Jesus' actions with his disciples weren't about how the Pharisees were going to behave, what the outcome was on his life expectancy. But the whole purpose was, how do I experience God in this moment with this person? And isn't that something that we all want? Isn't that something that we all crave? Belief is so up here, right? Right? Action is action, and that's great. It gets us closer. But it gets us closer to that experience of the divine that we have when we are with each other and when we do exactly what Jesus did here and push the boundary that said, your laws are fine, but not when they get in the way of taking care of one another. Let the people say, amen.